we come to celebrate Christmas 2016, we're celebrating in a world that is unlike anything ever before. Every year the world is changing. Every year we read about more unrest, and we read about more wars and rumors of wars, and we read about terrorist attacks, and most recently, of course, in Berlin. And we wonder just how long it's going to be before Jesus says, okay, that's enough, and he returns. And as we come to celebrate in Advent, we realize that we ourselves live in a country that is at war with an enemy that knows no boundary limits. And so when we read about the birth of Christ and the angels saying, you know, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, we wonder where that peace is going to come from, because there certainly doesn't seem to be an awful lot of that available today. So in a world that is so torn by war and turmoil, this Advent season, this time to celebrate Christmas, how can we find peace? Isaiah said that there would be one who would come to bring peace. Well, how can we find that? Well, if you have your Bible open to Isaiah 11, I'm not going to read that whole passage again for you. We're going to take it piece by piece as we go through the devotional tonight. And yes, I know what time it is, and I do know how to keep it short. On all God's people said, prove it. Prove it. How can we live in a world and find peace where there is no peace? Well, if you look at verse 1, it says, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. If we want peace, folks, the first thing we have to do is understand, know the King, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one we call the Prince of Peace. This prophecy that we read about Jesus here was written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before he came. And just as Israel needed to know the Prince of Peace 2,737 years ago, which is about the time that this was written, we need to know the Prince of Peace today. I wish that we could say that tomorrow morning when we get up and as we celebrate Christmas, the world would be at peace. But unfortunately, I've been watching the news a lot lately, and I don't think that's going to happen. But what would happen if the entire world came to understand who Jesus was? What would happen if everybody, all, you know, 7.8 billion people on planet Earth, came to know Christ? What would happen then? Well, I think people would be a little more polite. I don't know. What do you think? At this point in the writing of the prophecy that Isaiah gives us here in Isaiah chapter 11, Israel was living under the threat of the Assyrians and their armies. Yeah, way back then, Syria was a problem. And the Assyrians were threatening the Jews with warfare. And here in verse 1, it's prophesied that the dynasty of King David would be cut off. Okay? King David's throne would be cut off, but there would be a shoot that would come from that stump. Okay? Think of a tree being cut down to a stump. And this is the way God prophesies or shows us how this prophecy would work. The line of King David would be cut off like a tree getting cut down to its stump, and you'd think it was dead, but out of nowhere, a shoot would come up out of that stump. That shoot is the one that we come to know, understand, to know, is Jesus. All that would remain would be a stump of a family tree. But then after all of this, this stump that appeared to be dead would spring forth with a shoot, a branch, a fresh stem that would grow and bloom, and it would be Jesus. You know what? I love it when I read about Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled, because it shows me that the Bible is a book that really is alive. And it's the thing that sets the Bible apart from every other holy book that's ever been written. I don't care, all the way from the Bhagavad Gita to the Book of Mormon. There is none of them that can say that their prophecies are being fulfilled like the Bible's. And here's a prophecy that was written 2,737 years ago, and it was fulfilled about 2,000 years ago. Pretty cool in my book. Just as God had cut off the people of Israel, God would restore them. Now, how many of you, when you get up in the morning, you turn on the TV, say, my goodness, isn't Jesus alive and well on planet Earth? Doesn't look like it, does it? Doesn't the world look like it's just a dead, cold, spiritual desert? I wonder why that is. Because God is preparing the world for that shoot to come back and restore. Just as He did back then, He made that prophecy then, and that prophecy is good for us today, because there is a day coming when that shoot that came from the stump, okay, that shoot is going to return, and He is going to bring 1,000 years of peace. I know that's going to happen. We need to know the Prince of Peace that's going to bring that peace. It was a sin of the people of Israel that caused God to cut them off. It was a sin of the people of Israel that said, okay, that made God say, okay, I'm cutting off the line of David right here. I'm going to cut it down to a stump. And it was a sin of the people that did that. We just went through an election cycle, and I had, I don't know how many people saying to me time and time again, who should we vote for? It's all evil. Where is God in all of this? We're living in a world that's getting colder and darker, and what's God going to do about it? What is He going to do? Jesus is coming, folks. And when He comes, He will restore. Just as was promised here, He will restore. God has given us the remedy for our situation. God cut off Israel because of sin back then. And when we look at the world we live in today, folks, we see the same thing. We see the same thing. It's the same branch of peace that God offered back then that will bring peace to the world today. And if we want peace, and we've got to know that. We have to understand that. We have to believe it. We have to receive it for ourselves. How many of you would say, you know, I understand what you're saying, Pastor Jay, but I've got so much peace in my life, I don't know what to do with all of it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace who will work the miracle of peace in your heart if you receive Him, and in our world when He returns. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We need to know the Prince of Peace, but we also need to understand the source of our peace. Look at verses 2 through 5. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what His eyes see, nor make decisions by what His ears hear. But with righteousness He will judge the poor and decide with fairness the afflicted of the earth. And He will strike the earth with a rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips He will slay the wicked. And righteousness also will be in the belt about His loins, and faithfulness the belt around His waist. Israel was on the brink of war and devastation. Our country is on the brink of war constantly. The countries around the world, everywhere we look, countries on the brink of war. The Israelites back then lived in the shadow of a power that was poised to take away the way of life. The Assyrians were going to come and sweep them away. And yet the Israelites lived in the state of debauchery. They knew that they had stumbled far away from God, but at this point in their history, when Isaiah wrote this, they were saying, yes, I know that we're living in a state that's far away from God, but we don't care. We like it. And in response, Isaiah cries out here in chapter 11. He says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The branch, ladies and gentlemen, will become the judge. And when he judges, he will judge how? With wisdom, with understanding, with counseling skill that even I don't have. With wisdom, with knowledge, and fear of God, he will not judge unrighteously. Isaiah says, if you will submit to the Lord, there will be four things that would characterize the Lord's rule in your life. Verse 4, he will be a righteous judge who will not favor the rich. Wouldn't you love some of that? He'll be a righteous judge who won't favor the rich. We live in a world that says it's all about the Benjamins. What are the Benjamins? I have no idea even what that is. I'm kidding. I know what it is. It says here that he will be a fair judge. It tells us in verse 4 that he will pass judgment on the wicked, and only he could do it because he's going to be 100% righteous. He will be a righteous judge. And he will stand and judge the people with firmness and stability, characterizing his rule. How many of you would say, man, that sounds wonderful? That sounds like a righteous, righteous judge. How many of you think that you are ever going to find justice in a courtroom? Oh, these people did something bad to me. I'm going to sue them. You know, we live in that land, that time. Sue thy neighbor. I spilled hot coffee on myself. I'm going to sue McDonald's. And she won. That's right. She won $2 million. Do you think you're ever going to find justice in a courtroom? I had a lawyer, a Philadelphia lawyer, tell me one day, Jay, if you ever want justice, don't go to court. Go to God. And this was a Philadelphia lawyer. He could understand it. How come we can't? God is the righteous judge. All of us long for peace. But our problem is that we always look out there at the things that are robbing us of our peace. We look out there to try to find things that will make us peaceful. We try to change our circumstances and think that if we can change our circumstances, we'll be happier, we'll be more peaceful. Yes, if we change our circumstances, or if we hang out with a different group of people, if we make more money, and all these things are stuff that we can touch with our fingers, and we figure if we can get more stuff, then we're going to be more peaceful. Oh, but Pastor Jay, you don't know how I worry about bills at night. Folks, I know rich people that are miserable because they don't have peace. Chances are that the number one problem, folks, in our peace life isn't our circumstances. Chances are that the number one problem in our peace life isn't our finances. Chances are the number one problem in my peace life is me and my own sin. Why else would the Lord's prayer say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? You know that prayer that you said 1,000 times? Forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses. When others betray you and trespass against you, Jesus can be your Prince of Peace. Amen? But what about when you betray you? Can he be your Prince of Peace when you betray your own beliefs? When you betray yourself? Well, I want you to know that Jesus still is a source of peace. When others betray us, he's still our peace. When we betray ourselves, he's still our peace. Well, we got to go to him to get it. Number 3, we need to experience the restoration of peace. How many of you were listening real carefully when Bowie read that scripture and talked about the wolf laying down with the lamb, and the leopard will lay down with the baby goat, the kid, okay? About the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and lions actually eating straw like the cows do. That sounds like something science fiction, doesn't it? But God's Word says it. and that settles it. It will happen. It's going to happen. Jesus is going to return, folks. And when he does, he is going to set up a reign of 1,000 years. And that 1,000-year reign is going to bring peace like the world has never known. And that's when those things are going to happen that Bowie was reading to us about. The lion laying down with a lamb and all those things that seem so odd. The child will be able to reach into the hole of the snake and not get bitten because there will be no need. Nature will be at peace. The world will be at peace. We will be at peace. Countries will be at peace. They'll no longer be at war. Even the natural elements will be at peace. You mean no tornadoes? Yep. No earthquakes? Mm-hmm. All of this will be the peace that is ours during that 1,000 years. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, well, good for them. Good for those people that are going to be around then. What about now? What about now? Well, the answer is that we can be grafted into the branch. This shoot that comes out of the stump. Okay? We can be grafted into that and become part of that. And if we have that, folks, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world around us and all the turmoil and everything, because the Lord will give us a kind of peace that passes all understanding. While everybody else is pulling their hair out and turning prematurely gray, you're going to be walking along with a smile on your face saying, I trust in the Lord. He's got it all under control. I don't need to worry. I don't need to fret. Because God is my God. He will supply my needs according to His riches and glory. We can be grafted in. And when we're grafted in, folks, we find peace. It's then that we can pray for His peace to fill us and transform us. You know a lot of people, folks, that are at odds like this with others. And you know why they're like this all the time? Because hurt people hurt people. People who have no peace create unpeace. Angry people like to have other people angry. But when you have Christ and He gives you that kind of peace that only He can give you, all that anger and all that unrest just melts away. He can transform a life and bring peace to any life, any person that's willing to say, I want some of that. I want some Jesus for me. Not just some. I want all of them. I want Christ. Will peace with God automatically bring peace with all men? I could only wish. But if I had my choice between peace with God or peace with everyone, I would take peace with God. If we have peace with God, knowing He has forgiven our sins through the Prince of Peace, that's Christ, then you will have peace in yourself. And when you have peace in yourself, you're less likely to bring unpeace with others. Does that make sense? You see, Jesus came to lift a big burden from the shoulders of His people. The burden of unforgiveness, the burden of anxiety, the burden of guilt. You might say, well, you know, I've got some of that, and it robs me of my sleep night sometimes. Sometimes I can't forgive myself. Sometimes I have anxiety. Sometimes I struggle with guilt. You can go to the Lord and say, Lord, please remove all this from me and be my Jesus, be my Savior. And it all goes. It all goes away. No need for guilt because you've been forgiven. No need for anxiety because He's got it all under control. No need to worry about unforgiveness because you've been forgiven. Let's pray. Would you say in your heart, I need the peace that only Jesus can give me. I don't have peace in my heart because, well, I know that I don't have peace with Jesus. that the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight and you would say, I want to receive Christ as my Savior because I want peace with God and I want peace in my heart. It's just as simple as saying a prayer. And a prayer goes like this, and pray this with me. Dear God, I know I have sinned. I know that I have missed the mark that you had for my life. And I ask you, Father, to forgive me. And I ask you, Father, to make things right in me. And I know, Father, your way of making things right in me is giving me Jesus. And so I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart right now, to be my Lord and to be my Savior. I ask you, Jesus, to be the forgiveness for my sins. I ask you to be the peace for all of my anxieties. And I ask you, dear Jesus, to be the peace that washes away all of my unforgiveness. Jesus, live in my heart. Give me a new heart and a new life. You promised me that if I open my heart and let you in, that you'll come in and you will fellowship with me and I can fellowship with you. And so, Jesus, I invite you in and I thank you for taking up residence in my heart right now. And I thank you, Father, for the gift of eternal life that is now mine in the person of Jesus. As in his name I pray. Now, if anybody is looking around, please keep your eyes bowed, eyes closed and your head bowed. If you prayed that prayer with me, would you just lift up your hand so I know who I can be praying for this week? Yes. See those? You can lower your hands. Anybody else?